Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. We're reading verses 37 to 47. Mark 15, 37 to 47. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less and of Joseph, and of Salome. And also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him. And many other women came up from him unto Jerusalem. And now, when the evening was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he had already dead, and called unto him the centurion. He asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of the rock and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid.
Oh, 24:1-6. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing in spices, and they had prepared certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen.
As I read from Matthew 28:1-7, you can just listen. You don't need to turn there. Just listen to me. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead, And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you.
Our Savior. Jesus, I just want you to think about what is given. We're going to go back to the story. In fact, would you take your Bibles and would you go to Matthew chapter 28? Matthew chapter 28 is going to start to tell us about what the big deal is that we make concerning Jesus rising from the dead. And that, you know, we heard probably many times that the tomb is empty. What is the meaning of that, that the tomb is empty? Matthew, you take your Bibles in the first book of the New Testament, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which speak of the same story with a different perspective. And so if you'd take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 28, chapter 28 is the last chapter in Matthew, and we're going to look here at the very end of what Matthew says about this empty tomb. And again, not long this morning, but I just want you to take a moment to think through just a couple thoughts that I have for you today that the Scriptures have. Matthew chapter 28, and I want you to see in verse 1. Look at the very first verse of Matthew chapter 28. All right, Matthew is writing and he's recording what he witnessed and how he heard the story. All right, before we look at verse 1, what has just taken place? Jesus, God's Son, referred to God's Son, came to this earth and lived for 30, 33 years. He lived on the face of the earth as a human being. He was 100% God, 100% man, and that's hard for people to understand. God's Word teaches that He lived on the earth for about 33 years. He came to this earth for one reason, well, for many reasons, but the main reason was He came on this earth to die for sinners. We'll talk more about that here in just a moment. He came to die. That's kind of an amazing thing to do, to come to this earth, to live, to die. And for what purpose? Well, we just sang about it. But we're going to talk more about it. So Jesus has just gone to the cross. He's been crucified by the Roman soldiers. He's been put on the cross. He's been beaten. He's been whipped. He was put a crown of thorns on his head. He died a cruel, punishing effort on the cross. He died that for a reason. Why would he do that? Well, Jesus was dead. They declared him dead. And then they took him and they put him in the grave, just like a dead man would be put in. They put him in a tomb. And there they put him in the tomb and they laid him. He was wrapped up and they put a seal over that tomb, a big stone that was rolled there. There was a seal of the leadership there that was the Roman leadership there. They put a seal around him. That was probably composed of some wax and maybe some sort of a twine or rope that was there, so that if tampered with, they would know that somebody did something. He was sealed with that. And then there was posted a guard of soldiers around that tomb to make sure. They weren't afraid that he would rise from the dead, but they put that seal there, or that watch of soldiers there, just in case some of Jesus' followers, as they claimed Jesus would rise, that they would secure this possibility of these people coming and somehow moving the stone away, taking away the body, and then leaving with it and saying that he rose from the dead. They did not want that. That would destroy everything that they had done. And so they put a watch of soldiers around this door of this tomb. So it's very secure. Very secure. Probably no way that anybody's going to get in. By the way, the door of that tomb was not put so that Jesus wouldn't get out. It was so that nobody would get in. Can I tell you something? That stone might prevent somebody from getting in, but it could never prevent Jesus from getting out. And what we're going to look at here this morning is how Jesus, the fact that he got out. He got out, and it was for a purpose, not just for some elaborate story that we can all say, how did he do that? What an amazing story. It was more than that, and can I tell you, if you're here this morning, very personally, it was for you. Jesus left that tomb for you. He left it for you. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Let's look. 28:1. So this is all ended in verse 66 of chapter 27. So they went and they made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. I just told you about those three things. All right, let's go to verse 1 of chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. These ladies came to see the place where Jesus had laid. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. And there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. I want you to look at verse 1 there just for a moment. Something that we read over every time we read the story of Easter, the story of the resurrection of Jesus. Notice that it was the first day of the week. You say, "Preacher, what are you going to make out of that point?" It was the first day of the week. Folks, it was sunrise. It says the dawn was coming. The sun was coming up. The morning was coming. The week was about ready to start. It was Sunday. It was the first day of the week. I don't know about you, but I like a fresh start. Now maybe some of you are here and you say, "I don't know that I like the idea of the first day of the week, because that means a whole long week of work." Some of you like the weekend, you like the end of that work, but we like fresh starts of things. Some of you really like springtime because it's kind of like a fresh start. Some of you like the springtime. My wife really likes the spring, and it's growing on me. I'm starting to like it more. Springtime brings life. You know, you've had a yard full of maybe trees or plants and things that look ugly, that have died off, or at least they've appeared to die off, and things are they're not that green color, and they're not all those other colors of the flowers. You don't have flowers, you don't have blooms, you don't. It's kind of, the winter in a sense is a dead time. It's a cold time. It's just an empty time of the year that some of us get a little antsy, and for a lot of us, we're looking for the sun to come out. We're looking for the warm weather to come. We're looking to get outside. Why? Because it's a fresh start of the next year. I know that the new year starts January 1st, but it doesn't give the sign of something new January 1st when you look outside. I think you understand what I'm talking about. But the spring brings that new life. There's a lot of new life that is presented in the spring. We can talk about with the vegetation and the flowers, but even in the animal life, you know, the animals, there are many animals that are born, and life begins, and we see that life come out. There's something about a fresh start. Now, I mentioned to you that spring wasn't my time. If I were to pick a favorite time of the year, it would have been fall. And I know some of you say, "Pastor, what are you talking about? This is Easter. Why are you the fall?" For me, it was the start of something else. Of course, I loved football. And then I for a long time, I lived for that thing. I lived for that game. And that was my favorite time of year. I would get a sense of smell every year come about the middle of August, because we were supposed to report to camp or whatever and get started with the practice there. There was something about it. Now, some of you would just say, "Pastor, that was just the mowed grass." But I don't know about that, because maybe it was a grass smell, maybe it was cutting, but I didn't get it in June and July. There was something. I could, maybe you can't, but I could smell football. I could. I could smell it. There was something about it. There was a unique smell that something changed in the middle of August for me. Again, maybe you think I'm kooky, but for me, something changed. And that was a fresh start. It was a fresh start to something new. I enjoyed a fresh start because it was going to be a new season. It was going to be, you know, a new equipment. It was going to be a new this and a new that. And I loved the opportunity to start the next season, to get going. There was something fresh about it. You know, there's something that is new about a morning, isn't it? A morning. Night could have been rough. Some of you don't sleep well at night, and you can't wait until the sun comes up because the morning starts. And it's a new day. It's a fresh day. Something new is about to take place. The first day of the week, it's a new start. It's something fresh. The Bible tells us in Lamentations chapter 3, "For it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. His compassions fail not, and they are new every morning." You know, as a person here today, I'm so grateful for the new morning. But it's more than just a morning. It's more than Sunday. It's more than that middle of August date. It's more than the springtime and the spring flowers. There's a newness that the first day of this week that we're reading about in Matthew chapter 28 brings to us. It was the first day of the week. Folks, I want to tell you something. When we read that in Matthew chapter 21 or 28 and verse 1, it tells us there's about something to happen that's going to take place that is going to be new for us. That's going to bring about a situation in life that's going to change the whole thing. And it happens right here. It happens right here. Death had taken place. I just reviewed with, you know, you go back to chapter 27 and we see the death of Jesus. Death is a tough thing to talk about. They killed Jesus. That was a bad thing. They killed Jesus. Folks, I want to tell you something. Without the death of Jesus, there couldn't be any life. See, that's the interesting thing about the fall and the winter. Nature requires that there's a time of, if I can say loosely, death. Not far away from my house, there's a lot of trees that's there. There's a forest of trees there. And a number of years ago, people came in and they cut down a bunch of trees that are there. They do that so that there can be new growth and new life. And I was driving by the other day and I was looking and here, you know, the last many years, if you've ever logged a place out or seen that, it can be a big mess for a while, depending on how they do it. But for the first time, and I know that it didn't just happen yesterday when I was driving by, or the day before, whenever it was. I know it didn't just happen. But I noticed something, and there's a bunch of big trees there, but a lot of the medium-sized stuff, maybe some of the bigger stuff, was taken out of there. But in the areas that for the last several years has looked really bad, I noticed for the first time there's a bunch of twigs that are not just this high, but they're about this high or even higher. What happened? I can tell you they've probably been there for a while. In fact, they probably didn't just start up this last year. In fact, it's taken many years for them to grow up. But because of somebody coming in there and there's opportunity for new life. Of course, I grew up in the state of Wyoming. And out there, there's a lot of forest land. And of course, there's a lot of forest here as well. And so Pennsylvania is a state of trees. And so I'm not... But out there, I would know that there's a lot of forest fires that take place. You probably see them in the news out west. You know, you've got all those western states that get so dry. And out there, the forest fires come through and they've got to control those fires. But there's something that comes from those fires that's very unique. As those forests, if I could say die, they die so that new growth can come up. In fact, they say that that's one of the best things for for new life in the forest is to burn that so that that new life can come up. Understand something, that for life to take place, there must be some sort of death. Death so that there can be life. The point that I really want to make here, folks, for a few moments, and this is our main point, the point that I want to make here, and we see the first day that dawned here, that there's a first day, and by the way, that day we celebrate today. It happened many years ago. But it was the day that we have sung about this morning, we're reading about now, I'm preaching about, you're listening to. It was the day when Jesus rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. Folks, I want to tell you something. That rising from the dead brought hope to each and every one of us. There's hope. The Bible says in the Word of God that we are all dead in our trespasses and sins. You know, I don't think that I have to share too much with you that every one of us in this room are sinners. I don't know when the first time I sinned, but I sinned a long, long, long time ago. And I sinned. I went against God and I did my own thing. And the Bible calls that sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us in this room has done something that goes against God and His Word. We have all sinned. The Bible's very clear. We have sinned and we have fallen short of that glory. There's nothing that we can do to attain unto it. Now, I wasn't a basketball player, I was a football player, and you look at my stature and you can understand why I wasn't a basketball player, because I was a little bit short and a little bit stubby for that game. But anyway, you know, I never had the ability. I tried and tried and tried, you know, I tried to get to jump higher and do more, but I never was one that was able to just run up and, you know, dunk the basketball, okay? I could never do that. I could never do that. I was far short of that. But there are guys that don't have to spend a whole lot of effort, and they can go up there and they can slam that thing into the hoop just like nothing. Can you imagine if we set that hoop up to 20 foot? 10 foot might not be a feat. It's a feat for me. But for 20 foot, a 20 foot high rim, it's not going to happen. On the human level, it's not going to happen. There's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves. Now, we can build something, do something to loft us up there, but there's nothing that none of us can do to get there. The Bible says that we fall short of God's glory. You see, the moment that you sinned, the moment that I sinned a long, long time ago, we fell short of that, again, that 20-foot rim. We're not talking about a rim this morning. We're talking about His glory. We're talking about His perfection. God has never sinned. When I sinned, there's nothing that I can do in my own self to be perfect and attain to that perfection. Nothing. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says later in Romans chapter 6 that because of that sin, the wages of sin is death. Death. Because I have gone against God and His Word, because I had that bad attitude, or because I stole that thing, or because I lied, or because I cheated on something, because I did that sin, there's nothing that I can do to attain to that of my own self. In fact, the only thing that I get or deserve is death. For the wages of sin is death. That word in Romans chapter 6 means eternal separation from God. There's nothing that I can do. In fact, I'm separated from God. I'm separated from Jesus, and there's nothing that I can do. It's a death. But there was a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that's an interesting verse, because he says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, he doesn't say the gift of God is eternal life through going to church. You know, there's a lot of people today that think that in order to get to heaven, they've got to go to church. And you say, Pastor Madrid, isn't that why we're here today? Because we're trying to do good things so we get to church. In fact, the Bible teaches that it's not that. There was a group of people in Bible times that really did a lot of good things in order to try to make God happy with them. And guess what? Jesus himself says, you're lost. You're missing the point. There's nothing that you can do. You know, there's a lot of people that think today that they've got to be a good person. The Bible doesn't say for the wages of sin, but the gift of God is eternal life through being a very, very good person and not sinning very much. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that you can have eternal life through getting baptized, another work. The Bible doesn't say that you can have eternal life through giving money, putting money in the offering plate. The Bible doesn't say that you can have eternal life through raising a good family. The Bible doesn't say that you can have eternal life through working hard to do it. You know, we in this room, we understand what it means to work very hard for things, especially some of you men. You know, we work hard and we try to do a lot of things. And the reason why we understand that is because in the world, in the physical world that we live in, what we work for, a lot of times we get. You work really hard, you know, doing this, and you know, maybe some of you you worked really hard at a job, and because of it, you have now a home, a property, a something that you're proud of because you worked for that. Others physically maybe have a physical attainment that you have made because you worked really hard, on the field or in the court or in the weight room or whatever, and you worked hard for it and you achieved something. That's the normal, natural level. But the fact of the matter is Jesus, God did something different. It's not what we do, it's what Jesus did for us. We can work all we want to, and folks, let me tell you some really bad news. Everybody listen to this. It's one of the most important things you're going to hear today. We can work all we want to, as hard as we can. We can go to church every Sunday. You can go to church every day of the week, and it's not open for you to come every day of the week, but you could. You could put money in the offering plate every week. You could raise a perfect family. Well, you couldn't do that, but you could try. You could give to charity. You could love people, and you could be kind to people, and you could do this and do that. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. I believe there are going to be some shocked people one day that have really been working really hard to get to heaven, and one day they're not going to be there because the Bible teaches the wages of sin is death. But the verse didn't end there. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what are we getting at? It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. This is Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. It's not by works of righteousness we have done. It's according to His mercy He saved us. What Jesus did on the cross. By the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's what Jesus did on the cross that made it possible. You see, Jesus went to the cross for every single person that is in this room today. He went to the cross for you because He loves you. And as I look at people and individuals, Jesus went to the cross for you because you're a sinner. And as 100% God, He, the only perfect one, could take the penalty away. He's the only one that could satisfy the wrath of God. You see, God is holy and He's just, and He cannot look on our sin. That's why we can't go to heaven, is because God is holy. He cannot accept me, a sinner, entering into His holiness because there would be no holiness there anymore. He cannot accept me. So what He did is He sent His perfect holy Son, Jesus, who had never sinned, and He paid the sacrifice on the cross, and because He was holy, that can satisfy His wrath on sin. He took our place. And yet as 100% man, He came man for man to take my place as a sacrifice, as a substitute. So that's what we see in the death of Jesus Christ. Where does the resurrection come in? You see, when Jesus went to the cross, he died. In a sense, we could say that death, the cross, even into the grave for 3 days, had victory over Jesus because he has succumbed to death. Death is now victor over Jesus because he died. He has no more breath. He has no more flow of blood. He has no more life. So in a sense, the grave, death, had victory over Jesus. Folks, I want to tell you something. He did not stay in the grave. The Bible teaches he rose from the dead. And we see this happening on the first day of the week. Why do I take so long on the first point? Some of you are getting a little concerned about the time because it's only point one of three. But I'll tell you this. It all hinges on this. The only way that we have the possibility of life is through Jesus' life. Because he conquered that grave. He conquered that death. He conquered our sin when he rose from the dead. And because Jesus was our substitute, when he went to the cross and he then rose from the dead, he declared victory over my sin. He declared victory over all of your sin. He declared victory over your death, over your grave. He declared victory so that you can have eternal life. My friend, I want to tell you that the first day of the week, Easter, brings hope. There are a lot of people that are alive today that they are scared to death to die. They're scared of what's going to happen in the coming years. What's going to happen if we're overtaken? What's going to happen if we're overcome? What's going to happen when I die? They're scared of that. My friend, can I tell you, we ought to be scared of that if we don't know Jesus, because the Bible teaches that there, and it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The Bible clearly teaches that there is going to be hellfire for those people that have gone against God. You say, preacher, that's not fair. You know that God never condemned any man to hell. Man condemns himself to hell. God prepared the lake of fire and hell for the devil and his angels, not for mankind. But mankind decided to go against God, and he sinned, and he deserves everlasting punishment. That's not a good story, but let me tell you, it is a good story because Jesus knows and Jesus cares. And even though you can't go to heaven, Jesus died in your place so that you could. Can I tell you, friends that are here today, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the first day of the week, is a day dawning that brings hope. And I tell you what, you might be down and discouraged about what today looks like in America, but I want to tell you what, it's a good day to be alive because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and his life means your life and you don't have to go to hell. That's good news. That is good news. You don't have to go to hell. It's eternal hell forever and ever and ever. There is hope. And that hope is in Jesus Christ and resurrection. Can I tell you, Christians that have already trusted in Jesus, I want to tell you something else. The resurrection means hope for you and your situations in life as well. You might be here and you say, preacher, I've trusted in Jesus Christ, but you might feel that your situation at home, at work, at school, at wherever it is, financially, whatever, you might feel that there is no hope. Can I tell you, there is hope in Jesus Christ. There's hope in Jesus Christ to give you victory over the things that you're going through. He can give you victory in anything that you need because of the resurrection day, the first day of the week. Look back down at Matthew chapter 28. Of course, there was an angel. We read about that. I want you to look at verses 5 and 6. There's an angel standing there. It was, of course, this earthquake that took place. The stone is rolled away. And we have this angel in verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, okay, these women came and they were scared. What happened to Jesus? And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. And here's the words that I want you to look at. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Here it is. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Question, had Jesus already risen? He had already risen. When we read these verses, Jesus Christ has risen. You say, is there a verse that we read that it actually took place? Not really. I don't know. Was it the earthquake? Well, I don't know that that was when the stone was rolled away. When did Jesus rise? Well, we know he rose from the third day, but I cannot tell you that there's a verse or a certain word that's exactly the same time when he rose. I don't exactly know. Can I tell you that when that took place, it had already happened. Jesus Christ was already gone. When that angel said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, it had already taken place. It was already a fact. Folks, I want to tell you something, that this morning, it's already a fact that Jesus is risen. We're not waiting for it to happen this morning. We celebrate it, but he's already risen. That's a fact. Whether you believe it or not, my friends, do you realize today we live in a day that truth is based upon whether you believe it or not? That's not truth. You can say all you want to that I, your pastor up here, you can say all you want to that I'm a lady. I'm not. You can say all you want to, and you can tell me till I go to the grave or you go to the grave that your belief system does not change truth. And I tell you something, that Jesus, it's already recorded. We read, Pastor Dan read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The fact of the matter is whether you believe it or not, Jesus rose from the dead. The tomb was empty. You say, what does that have to do with this? There was a personal invitation. The truth happened. Jesus had died for sinners. He made a way of escape for the sinner so that they wouldn't have to go to hell and that they could go to heaven. But the invitation was this: come and see for yourself. Did Peter and John, when they went, did they have to see it for it to be reality? I'm not talking about for them. I'm just talking about in truth. Did their seeing bring about the resurrection of Jesus? No. But for Peter and John, and for Mary and Mary Magdalene and all these others, they had to see it for themselves so that they could accept it. Jesus had risen. I wonder what it had been like for Peter and for Peter and John as they raced to that tomb and they looked inside there and they went in there and there were those grave clothes that were there untouched, unharmed, and Jesus was not there. He had been risen. I wonder what it would have been like. That would be an amazing moment that I would like to go back in time to witness. He's not here. Like he said, he's not here anymore. They had a personal invitation to come and see where the Lord had laid. Folks, I want to tell you something. I can give you the truth. The truth of the fact of the matter is this, that the Word of God teaches, this is God's very words, breathed and inspired to mankind, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He got victory over your sin. You say, preacher, you don't know how much I'm a sinner. You have no clue what I've done. I don't know, but Jesus does. And Jesus has declared victory over all of your sin. Every sins that you've ever committed, that you are committing now, and will commit in the future, Jesus Christ has already declared victory over those things. He died, and he took the penalty for all those sins. Every single one of them. That's good news. That's good news. Jesus died declaring victory over your sin. He died declaring victory over your grave, that you wouldn't have to stay there forever. He died declaring victory over eternal death so that you wouldn't have to go to hell. That, my friend, is a fact, whether you will believe it or not. And by the way, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says that if we don't, it tears everything of life up. In fact, if we don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then we can kiss and send everything goodbye. Life means absolutely nothing And did you catch it when Pastor Dan was reading it? And we are of men most miserable. I want to tell you something. That's why the world is living the way they're living, because they don't understand the truth of the resurrection. They're too satisfied today with eggs and bunnies. And I want to tell you something. If they would just get the fact that Jesus paid the penalty for their sin and he rose declaring victory over that they don't have to do the junk that they do today to satisfy themselves. They don't have to do the good things that they do today to get to heaven. They don't have to do anything because Jesus Christ has already done it. He has victory. That's a fact. But the invitation is personal. Come and see for yourself. My friend, you're here this morning and I want to ask you the question. Jesus Christ, this is a fact. Jesus Christ already died for your sins. He's paid the penalty full and free, and you can be cleared from those. He's already done the work. He has already done. It's done. On the cross of Jesus Christ, he said, "It is finished." And he's talking about the work. He's talking about a lot of things, but one of the things was he was talking about that work. That what was required to make God happy with you, the work's done. That's why I don't have to go to church for my salvation. That's why I don't have to be baptized. That's why I don't have to put money in the offering plate. That's why I don't have to be a good boy. That's why I don't have to do this and do that. That's why I don't have to do any of those things to get to heaven. Jesus Christ already did the work. But there's an invitation to everybody out there. And he says, listen, I've done the work, but you've got to come and see for yourself. I ask you this morning, have you seen for yourself the empty tomb? I'm not talking about going over to Israel and looking at the tomb that's there. I'm not talking about that. I'm asking you, my friend, have you seen for yourself that you are a sinner today? That you are on your way to hell, that Jesus died for your sin, he died for your eternal resurrection, he died for all of that. Have you come and seen today that you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? They say, preacher, what do we have to do? For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, there isn't anything that you can do today. That sounds miserable and impossible. There's nothing I can do then, preacher, to get to heaven. No, you can't. But Jesus Christ already did, and all you have to do is by faith take his grace. What is grace? Grace is receiving something that you don't deserve. None of us deserve heaven. None of us deserve life. But God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So what does it require? Belief. Trust in something that is truth. It's not a blind faith. The resurrection of Jesus Christ literally happened. He's alive. What we have to do is believe that what Jesus did was good enough. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Yeah, that's it. It's a recognizing that my way won't work. My sin, my righteousness, my good works, my way, my action, that's not going to work. The word repent in the Bible is not saying, I got to stop this. I got to stop, doing this, and reform myself. That's not what the word repentance means. Repentance means that my way is sending me to hell, and God's way can give me opportunity to go to heaven. It's changing my mind about that. Wait a second, my way is not working. Folks, I want to tell you, there's a lot of people in the world today that their way is not working. They think it is, but it's not working. And they're going to die and go to hell. But my friend, you have the opportunity. And Jesus is standing here, the angel standing there saying, come and see for yourself. Would you come and see? Would you trust Jesus Christ today? There's an invitation for all of us to come and see. Folks, Jesus is risen. He's completed and claimed victory over your sin, the punishment. He's given victory over Satan. The point is there's a personal invitation. I want to tell you that this church won't save you. Your mom and dad won't save you. Your grandparents won't save you. This pastor won't save you. Only Jesus Christ will save you, and it's going to be because you simply come. Just because you're here today doesn't mean you're part of a saving group, you know, saving church, that you're going to be saved today. It's a personal decision as well. You've got to recognize these things about yourself, and you've got to ask Jesus to save you. Jesus, I believe that. Would you save me? And I praise the Lord that many of you in this room today are saved. I praise the Lord for those that I've gotten to personally lead you to the Lord, and you've recognized your sin and you trust in Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. And today you can stand up not in pride and say, I know that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven because Jesus rose from the dead, and that means my resurrection as well because I am new with Him. The first day of the week was important. The invitation, the personal invitation to come and see was important, but there's a last obligation that's here. What were they commissioned to do? Every one of them. We could look at Matthew chapter 28 and verses 7 and 8. What is the responsibility? Go quickly and tell His disciples. We read that there. Verse 10, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren. Do you remember the demoniac that Jesus healed back in Luke chapter 5? He was a Gentile. We're not talking about the Jews. Many of the Jews Jesus told to keep it quiet because he was afraid they were going to try to make him king. But to this Gentile on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, what did he tell him to do? Go back and tell your friends. I want to tell you something. People need to understand the true meaning of Easter. It's time that people understand that Easter's not about bunnies and eggs. It's time, and again, I'm not preaching on bunnies and eggs at all. What I'm saying is people don't understand that Easter is all about, it's really all about possibilities for them. Can you imagine if everybody today understood that Easter was their ticket, their answer to eternal life? Jesus is risen for me so that I can have life. Can you imagine if people understood that? But folks, I want to tell you something. There's a responsibility for us to go and tell them because they don't know. How are these other people, how are the disciples supposed to know that Jesus had risen? Now, he had told them. But these ladies and these men needed to get back and say, come and see yourself. Jesus is risen. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of people in this world that don't understand that salvation does not come through a religion. So many people think that salvation comes through religion. Salvation does not come through religion. Salvation comes through personal belief and faith in what Jesus Christ has done. And our obligation is that we need to go and tell them that Jesus is risen. They are free. Would you just accept? I wonder how many people we know that don't know about the true meaning of Easter. We need to go and tell them. We need to go and tell them the amazing message that Jesus has not only died for your sin, but He's risen, declaring victory over His grave, sin, Satan, and eternity. They can go to heaven without any work except the work of Jesus Christ. Except the work of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. A long time ago, and just because our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, just because we've closed our Bibles, doesn't mean time to stop listening. I want you to listen just for a couple more minutes, and we'll be out of here. Many, many years ago, somebody faithfully told me, Sean Madrid, a proud, selfish, wicked sinner that left to myself, I would go to hell. I don't know about you, but I didn't like that. I didn't want to go to hell. Rather, I really wanted heaven. But as far as I knew, I had to be something. I had to act a certain way. I had to be good for my parents, and I had to do this for my teacher, and I had to... And there was a day that somebody told me that, Sean, that's not the way. That's not the way of salvation. No. Jesus Christ has already made the way. Sean, all you have to do is change your thinking from your way and trust Jesus. Trust Jesus for what He's already done. And I was given that evening a personal invitation to come and see. Would you, Sean, come and see? And at a young age, I answered that. And I trusted Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, my friend, whether I know you or not here today, from that moment, Jesus Christ came in to live with me, and I have had, since that time, eternal life. Many of you could share the same testimony, but there might be somebody in the room here today that you don't know about your eternal destination. You've been trying to live a certain life. You've been maybe hoping in something that you didn't even know what it was, that just maybe you could go. My friend, I want to tell you something. I gave you truth this morning from God's Word. Truth. That is the truth, whether you believe it or not. Jesus died for your sin and He rose, declaring victory over everything. My question to you is, would you trust Jesus today? It's not some big spiritual change of life. It will be. It's not some big reform that you must work for and start. It's not some religious process that you have to begin. It's a reality that you just have to believe right now. Transferring your trust from you to Jesus. Your work to Jesus. I wonder this morning if there's anybody here. I'm going to ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask that you not look around. It's none of your business. But I ask you a question this morning. How many of you would say, Pastor, praise the Lord, somebody shared the good news with me, and I know, because of the resurrection of Jesus, I know, because of the truths that you gave today, I know beyond a shadow of doubt, I know that when I die or Jesus comes, I'm going to go to heaven to be with Him. I know that. If you're like that, could you just slip up your hand? You say, I know that I'm on my way to heaven, not based upon my works, not based upon my religion, not based upon the things I've done, but I know that because of what Jesus Christ has done. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Many people in the room raise their hands. But I wonder, maybe you're here this morning and say, Preacher, what you told me today is something that I don't understand. I don't know that. I've never known that before. I always thought it was work. I always thought it was church. I always thought it was this. I always thought it was just a game. I thought it was a gamble. I thought it was... Maybe you're here today. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to call your name. I'm not going to do anything except pray for you. But maybe you're here sitting here this morning and you say, Preacher, I've never known that before. I never knew that about Easter. I never knew that I could have eternal life by just trusting Jesus. I always thought it was work. I'm going to ask you a question here this morning. How many of you would be able to lift up your hand, just quiet and gently, nobody else needs to know but myself? Say, Preacher, would you pray for me? I've never... And by the way, my prayer for you is not going to save you. I'm just going to pray that you would trust Jesus. But maybe you would be here today and say, I've never trusted Jesus Christ. Jesus is my personal Savior. Pastor, I want you to pray that I would have faith and trust in Him. Anybody like that today? I've never done that myself, but you would just simply raise your hand. I'm looking around and I don't see people opening their eyes, so it's safe. You would say, hey preacher, just by a simple raise of hand, I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I don't know if I'm on my way to hell. Anybody like that today? You'd raise your hand. If you have, I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen anybody. I just want to make sure we're communicating properly. Anybody like that? You just raise your hand so that I could see. Preacher, would you pray for me today? I've never done that. Anybody like that at all? Christian friend, I want to tell you something here. Jesus rose from the dead, conquering victory over every sin. And I want to tell you what, you can have freedom from that sin right now. You can have victory over that sinful lifestyle that you've been living. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Oh, let's thank the Lord for what He's done. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm just going to ask Melissa to play Song of Invitation there.